Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to officially
Daniel and Katie Spiegel, Texas.
More Success Team, Legal Shield Conference Call. What an amazing call we have lined up for you guys tonight. I know a guest speaker and trainer I'm extremely looking forward to hearing from. And, you know, just I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. It's just what a special time to be able to spend time with your friends and family. And Well, to really jump right into things tonight, I'd like to let's go ahead and go straight out to Durant, Oklahoma, to Platinum Executive Director, Millionaire Club member. But the most important thing to me, guys, is he is my dad, and that is none other than Mr. Randy Moore. Dad, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeremy. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yes, Jeremy. You know, I'm really excited to hear from tonight's special guest speaker. So really, without further ado, I'm going to go straight to Ada, Oklahoma, to give her a proper introduction. I want to go to an original Millionaire Club member. He's a Platinum 5 Executive Director, a $500,000 ring earner who continues to lead our team now after over 30 years, and that's none other than my dad. That is Mr. Oh, Mr. Moore?
Yeah, right here, Randy. I hear a little squeaking there in the background. You need to oil your voice.
Okay, well, I'm muting the call as I go.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. You know, Randy, before we introduce the speaker, I'd like to say that Jeremy and I will be over in Tulsa tomorrow night and Kathy Pinson next Monday night will be over in Oklahoma City. So if anybody's got any help, send them over. We'll try to put them in business for you. I want you to remember, you're talking to a customer. You need to don't think about that customer just for today, but think about that customer as a lifelong source of income. Persistency is a thing. They'll become a problem solver and not just a sales owner. And trust is... You know, trust is really the key to any sales momentum. If you build that trust first, remember, people just buy from people that they trust. We get that trust, we got the sale, we got the longevity. So it's my honor tonight. And you know, we have a lot of great ladies in Legal Shield, a tremendous lot of great ladies. But tonight I want to introduce you to an extraordinary great lady, a Power 20, a $500,000 ring earner, platinum jacket earner, Millionaire Club member, platinum council member, none other than our friend, Miss Darcy Hoffman.
Well, hello there, Ken Moore. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. It's always a privilege to talk to a beautiful woman. I got my wife's permission to say that, so that's good.
Well, it's a privilege to be on your call tonight with such amazing leaders that you have. I'm hearing Harold Pinson out there. You make me nervous. Harold's on the phone. I'm gonna be coaching Harold Pinson and Ken Moore. Oh my gosh! And Randy and Jeremy. Thanks for the introduction and the opportunity. And so many. I know you have Jimmy Parrish on your team and so many other great leaders. So I am going to talk tonight about what I know, and that is being an entrepreneur. Some don't know my story, but I have been an entrepreneur since I was basically born. It seems like I started my first company when I was 19, and I just want to share two simple thoughts with you all. I'm from a small town, and I believe in simplicity, really, really easy, basic simplicity, and that is the building blocks of life. And if you can get the simple things right, everything will grow out of those things. God says if he can trust you in the little things, he'll trust you in the big things. So let's just get the simple things right. And that is, so I want to talk to you about simplicity of success and the principles that build success. And the second thing is about how to employ yourself. A lot of times we hear about how to do a three-way and how to make a list and all these strategies and tactics, but I have gone across the country and I see people that are not experiencing the success that they could. And that's the thing that bothers me. So I'm the person that goes in and coaches and develops somebody from a 2 to a 4 and then a 4 to a 6 and a 6 to an 8 and then an 8 to a 10. It's one step at a time, one brick at a time, one principle at a time, one changing of a mindset at a time. And so I know that within them is the ability to succeed, but they may not even agree with that. So there's all kinds of things we do to help someone release that potential. But let's talk first about, let me go a little bit about my background. I believe when I was 19, I started my first business. Somebody brought a product to me. I used the product and I thought, wow, I like this product. Okay, here's the simplicity. First you use, then you share, because anytime you use something, a good restaurant or a good movie, you a good product, you want to go share it with people. That's a normal extension of a satisfaction of a product. So I didn't know this was business that I was doing, but I used a product, and I thought, oh, this is so great. And at 19, I started to share that product. Well, someone said, you should do this business of this product. And I said, what? You know, I'm not a business person. And they said, but you used it and you like it. So I thought, oh, okay, that's true. If I used it and I liked it, there would be other people that would want to use it and like it the way I do. So I bought I was 19 years old, and I bought a $6,000 tanning bed. It was my first investment. And I went out and I shared, very uncomfortable to go out to people. I was very shy, but I knew I had something that was worth sharing. So I went out there, and within 4 months, I paid off my $6,000 first business experience. I was booked from 6 a.m. till midnight. And so my message is going to be about going out and doing the uncomfortable things. That's the second part of my message tonight. So at 19, I buy a product. I start a business. I go out to the marketplace, and I'm passing out flyers, and I'm doing uncomfortable things, and I'm meeting people and sharing, and it grew into this great success. And that kind of led into some other things. But at 21, I took this business that I was living in Illinois to Michigan by myself. I didn't know a single person in Michigan. I just was, I felt like there was an opportunity because no one really knew about this product in Michigan. So I drive up to Michigan not knowing a soul. I rent a room and a home for $175 a month to keep expenses down, and I'm going to open up a chain of tanning spas in Michigan. So I'm 21, and I start my first one, and I go out and because I used the product, and I shared the product through marketing and meeting people and going everywhere and shaking hands and letting them know about what I do and just networking until my first business was explosively successful. I opened a second one. And the thing is, I'm going to share a model with you. I think Jeff Bella shared on a call once. It's write down these four words. When you use a product, the next step of your business is to share that product. The next step of your business, if it's growing, you're expanding, is to coach other people to use the product and share the product. Now you're kind of building out, and then that duplicates you. So it's use the product, share the product, coach people to use and share, and that will duplicate you. That's the four steps. Use, share, coach, duplicate. Very simple. So I used this product, I shared the product, and it was successful, and a lot of people said, wow, I want this product too. And then I said, wow, you know, I have one store, I can't reach, get all the customers, then I needed to expand. So I found another location across town, opened up, recruited a bunch of people, trained them on how to be successful in serving the customers, and that became successful too. And then I said, wow, you know, we can't keep all the customers, so we need to open a third store, and then a fourth store. So everybody, all my people that worked for me used the product, they were sharing it with customers. I had to coach more people to come into the store because we couldn't handle the business, and then I'd open up another one, and I open up another one. And then the thing about this model is that I sold, when I was 24, I sold my whole chain of stores. I had over 50 employees by the age of 22, and I sold my whole chain of stores somewhere between 24 and 25, and I went to Australia and New Zealand and Hong Kong and traveled, and it was great for me because I made a lot of money in that sale. But this is what I want you to think about what you have, because sometimes, you know, John's like, you got to share this because sometimes people don't realize this. And so here's me. I owned this chain of stores. I had all my managers, and then my managers had all of their associates, sales associates, on the floor as employees. All right. So it's me at the top. Imagine, you know, it grew to 16 stores and then all the employees under there. When I sold the business, one check was written out and it was to me. It was not to the managers and it was not to the employees. One person won in that scenario, and that was me. And that sounds great for that person that owns that business, but it isn't great because you can't share it. And so now let me flip it around. Let me talk about how the employee wins and I lose. Now, I would also have managers that would come in, and I would train and develop and put my heart and soul and teach them everything about business and customer service and marketing, right? All those kind of things. And they would get so good from that coaching that they would quit my company and go to work for someone else, or they would quit and go into competition with me. That is not a win-win for me, the owner. So I started going, wait a minute here. I'm pouring myself into my employees because that's what I live for. I want to help develop people. But when I do that, I lose because then they get so good that they leave. And I don't blame them, you know. So I started to go, this is the weirdest business model. This is not good. So anyways, I sell my tanning spas, and I'm coming back, and I'm looking for a business opportunity. And I'm looking at real estate and stocks and this and all these different things and franchises. And I came across, by God's divine hand, he brought into John and I's life a individual who's made $80 million in direct sales. And the cool thing about him is he did the business the way I did my tanning spas. He literally taught you to use the product, then share the product, coach people to use and share, and that would duplicate you. And I said, oh, that's what I do with my tanning spas. Okay, that makes total sense to me. I'm going to simply share this product with people so that they see the value. And if they see the value, they'll buy the product. And if they buy the product, a satisfied customer is the number one associate. And I thought, that's exactly how I grew my first business. So I applied the same principles when we came into this business. But I want to step back a little bit. There is an individual, because I see this error out there in the industry of Legal Shield, and I had this big chain of stores, and I had this training system, and I believed in training. Everybody went through an 8-hour training to become a tanning consultant in my tanning spa chain. So I really believed in customer service and doing everything right, cleanliness, customer service, those kind of things. The little things are the big things. And so this individual that bought my tanning spas, all he saw was money, money, money. And it's great. I made a lot of money, all right? But the side effect of my principles was the money. It wasn't the money that made the business work. It was the principles, customer service, trust, like Mr. Moore just said earlier, good marketing, good training, all those kind of things made the company so successful because the customers were so satisfied that the company grew explosively. Now, he bought it thinking it was just a cash machine, that you could just make a lot of money. He did not believe in the training, the support, the customer service, the marketing the way I did it. He didn't do any of those things and just thought it would perpetuate. It would grow inconsistently because it was just, you know, who cares? It's just a tanning spot. It'll just grow. Well, anyways, he went from 16 stores to one store in 2 years. What's the moral of the story? That the little things are the big things. So I want you to ask yourself, when you market a membership, do you follow up? Do you make sure that that customer knows the value, the usage, the benefits, the member perks, all of the above? Or do you think, like I've heard out in the marketplace, I'm not going to spend time with one sale. You know, that's just a one-on-one. I want the big deal. I want to go out there and get more. And I think, well, my daughter Brielle, she started with treating a customer with excellence, going out there and servicing the customer, making a presentation so they fully understood. From that customer came a sale. That's it, a sale. But then that customer became an ally, and that ally had referrals, and she gave maybe a referral to another customer. And then eventually another customer had a referral to another customer, and then a customer became an associate, and then another customer had a referral to a company, and that company became an enrollment, and that enrollment had another referral because we served the company well, and they said, wow, you should talk to so-and-so, and that referral and that networking opened up doors and doors and doors. Well, Brielle Hoffman, who started 2.5 years ago, will be Platinum 7 this month, and she was also Platinum both on team and on production. So as of December, so it's already written, but it's just not gone through, but in the month of December it will. So there's an example of starting, and she started with simply the principles of success of treating people right and going out in the marketplace, using the product, sharing the product, coaching people to use the product and share the product, and that duplicated her. So she has a huge networking team that does very high performance selling in the marketplace. So that's one story I wanted to share about my own story and how it rolled right over into us doing this business with the same philosophy, the win-win. See, in direct selling, in this model of Legal Shield, it's not like my tanning spots where I won when I sold the business. I can now help my daughter, Brielle, help the people on our team, help Ken Moore's team, by coaching you to learn the principles. The little things are the big things. And then the training, the customer service, we believe that you meet and exceed your customers' expectations. So Mr. Morris said it earlier. He just said it is all about keeping things on the books. The persistency. And I love your organization because you guys are product-centered. You are, you know, right behavior-centered. You do the right things for the customer because that is what that's what grows a really rock-solid business. Rather than a shooting star, you've seen a lot of shooting stars, and it looks like they're doing good, but their behaviors, their principles of how they operate are not good, and pretty soon they're gone. We've seen them come and go. But the more family and the more team, they stick and they stay because you are taught the principles. So that's the first thing. You share, coach, duplicate, and use the principles. And the story about how somebody thought it was all about money, and I did not. I thought it was about service and customer, and I made a lot of money as a side effect of the right behaviors. The second thing I want to talk to you about is employing yourself. When I go around the country, the really great people I see, I realized I was an entrepreneur when I was 19. So I really never worked for somebody. So I've always had the mindset of an entrepreneur. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because that may be the difference between why, most people say I need self-discipline, but nobody taught people how to think about sacrifice and hard work. You're not taught that in school. There's not a how to be an entrepreneur class or how to self, you know, how to employ yourself class. So it's strange. You're taught to be an employee all the years of high school, and then you go into college, you're taught to be an employee, and then you graduate with a degree to get a job, and all of a sudden you find yourself in Legal Shield, which is self-employment. So there's sometimes that's like, what do I do now? How do I work for myself? So let's talk about that. There's a book that was written that studied the top producing people in the world. And they found that there's three character traits of the most successful, highest producers in the world. Those three traits are, number one, they believed they were purposed to succeed. They believed they were supposed to succeed. So it wasn't like they were like, I'm a failure, I can never do anything. It wasn't that. They knew they were supposed to succeed. Everything that is made to succeed, and they were made and created, and they were made to be fruitful and multiply. So they believed they were purposed to succeed is the first thing. The second thing is they wanted to prove it to themselves, they wanted to prove it by producing something that showed the reality that they can do it, that they can be successful. And I remember the story of the fig tree. You know, Jesus walks up to a fig tree, it's not producing figs like it's supposed to, and he curses it. So he's not very happy with something that was made to produce, and it's not producing. So I take that really serious about myself. You know, I was made to produce, to serve, to do something in the community, to add value to other people's lives. And so the first thing is three qualities. They believe they were purposed to succeed. The second one is they wanted to go out and prove it. So they were driven to prove it to themselves or to others. And the third one, which is what I'm going to talk about today, is impulse control. They had impulse control. They believed they were purposed to succeed, they wanted to prove it, and they had impulse control. Well, what is impulse control? You know, the idea, the ability to take action, regardless of your emotional state, financial state, physical state, is impulse control. Or self-discipline is another word you can use for impulse control, meaning I will take action even if I don't feel like it today. Maybe my action is I make 5 calls a day. I don't feel like it. We had the worst thing that happened financially yesterday, and a bill came in, and I don't know. I'm kind of stressed out about that, but I'm going to take action because I'm self-disciplined. And self-discipline is like the magic power that makes you virtually unstoppable. So that was in me when I was 19. So I'm 19, and I knew something said to me, I used a product, I felt really good about it, and I knew nobody knew about it. So what am I going to do about that? Which is exactly your area, your city. I can guarantee you not every household knows about Legal Shield. Not every business knows about Legal Shield. Not every person, not every school system, not every company. They haven't heard about it. I was one of those people. When I owned my tanning spa chain, I had a nightmare experience with a landlord, a nightmare. He had an inherited $30 million, bought my property, wanted to change my lease, which he can't do legally, but he decided to pull the air conditioning out of my ceiling when right in the middle of the busy season when customers are in tanning beds. Can you imagine tanning beds with no air conditioning? So it, and he harassed my employees and tried to get everybody to quit because he wanted to change my lease. And I was principle-centered, and, you know, I was all about justice, and this is wrong. And the bottom line is I literally had to move out of my first baby salon, the first one I built, because of this nasty landlord with $3 million that he inherited, he did not earn. I was that person that needed you, everyone on this phone, I needed you and your team to come to me, sit me down, and help me to understand that there is a service called Legal Shield. But no one came to me, so I was stuck against a $30 million person.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Is that Ken? Anyway, so I am very passionate about impulse control, the ability to go out there and serve people even if you don't feel like it. And there's two activities we do daily. We either things we feel like doing and things we don't. So those are the two activities, things you feel like doing and things you don't. So why is it that some will make the sacrifice and some won't? Well, there's this principle of sacrifice. If you think short term, you will think based on impulse. Let me give you an example. I am going to make 5 calls tonight. I'm going to set myself up for a good PBR tomorrow. So I'm going to spend time on the phone. And then I get a phone call from a friend that says, "Hey, Darcy, have you seen the new movie that just came out? Oh, my gosh, we're all going to get to the movie." Short-term thinkers live on impulse, feeling, and emotion. And my emotion is excited. My impulse is that I want to go with my friends. It's going to be fun. And I shortcut. Short-term thinking says run with the emotion, run with the impulse. I go off to the movies, and I don't commit to the 5 calls I was going to make. Long-term thinking, on the other hand, says reason and logic doesn't make sense. I committed to 5 calls a day. My integrity comes from the root word integrate, which means your actions and your words come together. They integrate. So if I said I was going to make 5 calls every day for the next week, I'm going to do what I say, and if I can get those done, maybe then I can go to the movie. So I have impulse control. So basically, if you think about the reason, if short-term easy, the easy thing to do would be go to the movies, equals long-term difficult, means my income does not increase. So I have short-term easy. I'm comfortable. It's more fun. I run off to the movies. But long-term, I don't pay my mortgage. I don't pay my bills. I can't get caught up in those credit card payments. My kids can't go to private schools. Long-term difficult because I chose short-term easy. Now, the opposite, short-term difficult, I'm going to make those calls. Some people might not want to talk to me. It might be uncomfortable. I don't even like making calls. That is short-term difficult, but I'm going to do it for the next 3 years. I'm going to commit to this kind of behavior, these kind of commitments, this kind of daily habits. And then in 3 to 5 years, I'll have long-term easy. I mean, I can buy that car that I want. I can take that vacation that I want. I can send my kids to private schools if I want. So short-term difficult, short-term maybe 3 to 5 years, maybe it's you're doing uncomfortable things, doing things that you're not used to, making a presentation that might turn into a no. But if you just say, hey, I feel good that I gave that presentation because now they know, and maybe a week later they call you back. Brielle, for instance, my daughter, went out there with, she could barely sell 5 memberships her first 30 days. So we had to go through a lot of how to think right about what you're doing. What is your mission? To get a sale or to present to them, because you can't really control it, yes or no. So, of course, you want a sale, but really what you're doing is letting them know about the value of what you have, and if they say yes or no, you have still done your job because they have a thorough presentation, which I didn't get as an owner of a business. And so she can feel good about that. And then what would happen was in 2 weeks she would get all the calls to come in, and she had 100% close within 2 weeks after about a month of her doing the presentations because she changed her perspective. So that no at that moment, or that I'm not ready or I want to think about it, was like, okay, because she felt good about what she did. So your sacrifice, your thinking, your long-term thinking is my mission is to everyone that I care about know about this product or this service. So I'm going to use it. I'm going to share it with everybody I know and care about, and then I'm going to coach other people to do that because we need to let them know. Whether they buy or not, I don't control that. I don't control their attitude or the prospect. I don't control the yes or no, but I do control my habits. And so that's part of being self-employed. So I just want to share those couple things. Impulse control is the main thing I see as a difference maker, that habit that's the difference between huge success and average success, and then just keeping it simple because a confused mind will do nothing. Back to you, Mr. Moore.
Darcy, I want to clear something. That wasn't me a while ago. I don't know who that was. I apologize for that. But, yeah, you know, you are one more fantastic lady, a great trainer. You talked everything that I personally believe in. I started out, you know, my first little business when I was in the eighth grade in school. So I've always believed that you could do better if you wanted to, but you had to have activity to create that. And you do such a wonderful, wonderful job. We on the Moore team appreciate you and John very, very much. And, of course, I visited with your daughter before. She's an outstanding young lady. I'm going to turn it back to Randy, but thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome.
If we can do anything for your family, you know the Moore family is ready to do it. Randy?
Ms. Hoffman, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Hey, congratulations to Brielle, platinum 7.
I know. She's 2,000 away from a ring, and she's just like she's going to go platinum 7, and our highest position is platinum 4, so there you have it.
Well, I remember the first time Jeremy went platinum 7. It's just something great about having your family have success, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. We're trying to do that triple generation thing like the Moore family, but we got a ways to go before we get there.
Yeah, you're headed in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. We're very, very proud for you. I've got a couple of executive directors that may have a question for you. Would that be okay?
That would be fine.
All right, let's go out to Idaho and to one of our executive directors, Mr. Damian Schieber. Damian just texted me. You've got a question?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Ms. Hoffman, I so appreciate you and your husband. You guys know that. For everyone else on the team, I credit John Hoffman with helping me go from a broke director a few years ago to a bronze exec within a six-month time frame. And one of the ways, or the main way, actually, that he helped me do that was he taught me how to actually get referrals. I always heard, you know, referrals, 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 but he taught me how to get referrals. And so, Mrs. Hoffman, for everyone else on the call, would you spend a moment on maybe, you know, how do you actually get referrals?
Yeah, I can tell you, write down BBRW. All right, BBRW, and that would be, I make a presentation. It was Damian, right? Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Damian, I make a presentation to you, and I say, now, Damian, do you see this service as a benefit to your family? So that's the first B, benefit. And you say, yes, I do, and everything. And then the second question is, do you think that this would be, if it was a benefit to your family, it would be a benefit to other families? So the second B is benefit to others. And then you say, oh, yeah, I think, would you be willing to recommend our service then? And they say yes, because you just asked them the first benefit. Would it benefit you? Would it benefit others? Would you be willing to recommend? And then the W stands for who. Can you think what two people can – who are two people you can think of that would benefit right now? So benefit, recommend who. Is this a benefit to you? Do you think this would be, if it was a benefit to you, Damian, do you think it would be a benefit to others? And then would you be willing to recommend it? And who can you think of right now, two people that could use this service? And then you go into that. But I just want to add on to the who. We do a thing in our organization called R3. And if you write R3 down, that's referrals to the power of three. And I don't know what in the world is going on. Some people teach, you know, you just go, and I go to Damian and say, Damian, do you want to be in this business, and there's an opportunity to make money? And he's like, no. And then I look for people that he might know that want to be in our business, but I never even sold him a product. I never even helped him to see the value. And our $80 million mentor said, if you don't believe in the product, Damian, there's no step two. If you don't believe in the product, how can you be in a business if you don't believe in the product? So the number one thing was for you to see, believe, and get attached to the product. And then the second thing is, like, we can build a business, because the number one associate is a satisfied customer. If somebody is like the guy that bought my tanning spas, he wasn't even interested in serving customers. He just was seriously just that one thing, motivated by money. That's it. And he lost the whole chain of stores. And I love telling that story because people think that's what it's all about. But benefit, recommend, who, and then the who being three, our three, referrals to the power three. Who do you know that would be a family or an individual that could use this product right now? Who do you know that cares about their employees? That's a company referral. You don't even have to be in group. You can just be partnering with somebody in group. But definitely ask the second question, the second referral. And the third one, and Damien, you know, we're really expanding our business. Who would you know that was looking for extra income? So that's where the R3 comes in. I do three referrals in every presentation, always 100%. And you ask for those three, individuals and families, businesses that care about their employees, and the third one would be who we're expanding our business, we're looking for help, that and who would you know? And that person could say, really, you're looking for help? You mean you're looking for people to do this? I could be so interested. So therefore, they're not like recruited with pressure, and it's very comfortable and normal. And I asked my mom, hey, mom, I'm looking for these kind of people. And she said she recommended me to her best friend. So she didn't have that weird feeling like I was trying to get her in the business. So there's an example of how we do the referrals.
Mrs. Hoffman, thank you so much. Tell your husband that I appreciate him, and I'll give him a call this week because he told me to give him a call. So I'll give him a call this
week.
Okay, sounds
good.
Thank you, Mr. Shever. Appreciate those comments. Ms. Hoffman, we just appreciate you being our special guest speaker tonight. Tell Mr. John hello, and, of course, Danielle, tell her, how proud we are of her. And you guys just inspire us greatly. We're about family, and so are you. So appreciate you, and I'm going to turn you back over to Mr. Moore.
Okay.
Ma'am, I do appreciate you very, very much. Tell John and the daughter hello. God bless you, and again, if we can do anything for you, because, you know, we got a motto, God, family, Legal Shield, and, of course, we always have our friends in there as family. So you're part of our family, whether you want to be or not. Sorry about that.
We do. We want to be.
God bless you, and good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's always do what we say. God, family, Legal Shield. Wasn't this a wonderful, wonderful, great call? God bless you, and good night.
Good night, everyone.